Begin the current daf, Masechtas Kedushin daf test. Begin on the bottom line of the Chesma Beis, where the Gemara continues with the discussion of the previous dafim, discussing variations of the halacha, which is one of the three ways that a woman could get engaged, which is with the Kedushin of Kesef. So the Gemara discusses different cases if they fit into the halachic requirements of a man engaging a woman with money. So the Gemara brings the following incident. Hahu gavra davu kom mezabin. There was a certain man that was selling, as we continue on top of Testament Aleph, chumrei, which Rashi explains are certain buttons that are made out of tin, and they would string them in one string, and it would make like a necklace out of them, and they would carry that on their necks, and thus sell the buttons, the tin buttons, from them. And Pesach Yasa, he was also selling these rings, that or thin rings made out of glass. So these were the things he was carrying on his neck, and he was selling them. Asoy hahi itza amrle, so a certain woman came along and said to him, Havli chad secha, give me one stringful of those rings, and that's what she was requesting from him. So Amalos, he said to the woman, Iyahivnalech, if I give you mikachesli, would you get engaged to me for that string of buttons that I'm giving you? So Amrali, she said to him, Hava mehava, give me the rings. So Amrav Chama, he explains, Kol hava mehava, anyone that says give, lav klomu, it's nothing. She wasn't agreeing to become engaged. I said, give me. You know, in other words, I asked for this, give me what I need. She wasn't consenting that it should be like he said, if he gives it to her, it's going to be a kedushin. Similarly, Ahu gavar davu koshasi chama b'chanus. There was a man that was sitting in a store and he was drinking wine. Asahi itza amrle, along came a woman who said to him, Havli chad kasa, give me one cup of wine. So Amalah, he said to her, Iyahev nalach mikachasli, if I give you a cup of wine, will you be engaged to me, which is through a kinyan of kesef, by giving her something worth money, at least a shava pruta? Amrle, she said to him, Ashkuye ashken, give me to drink. So Amrav Chama again explains, Kol ashkuye ashkoye in lav klumu, it's impatience, it's saying, give me, just give me what I need already, I need this cup of wine, it's not consenting to the Kedushin. So to Ahu gavar davu koshadi tamar medikla, there was a certain man that was throwing dates off a palm tree. Asoye itza Amrle, along came a woman who said to this man, Shdeli tarti, throw me two of them. So Amalai said to her, Isha dinalech mikachasli, if I throw you two dates, will you become engaged to me with those two dates? Amalai, she said to him, Shtei mishta, throw, just give me the dates. Amrazvid, he said, Kol shodi mishta lav klomu. So whoever's saying throw is nothing. It's not that they're consenting to what he was saying. It was just give me what I need, and I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say. Now Tosfos points out, the reason why we bring three seemingly similar types of halachas is to tell you that it doesn't work in any of these contexts, whether it's with food, drink, or any other thing. The halacha is, if someone says give, or throw, they're not agreeing to what you're saying, they just want to get what they want. Now Ibailu, however, they did have the following question regarding, let's say, give, ashke, give to drink, v'shadi, and throw, ma, what's the halacha if, let's say, they didn't double their words? When it's give, they're obviously, just give me what I need. Nothing to do, I don't care what you have to say. So there we say it's not a condition. But what's if, let's say, he says, if I give it to you, will you become engaged? And they say, give. Is that consent or not? So it's actually machlekes. Amravina, he says, Mukudesh, he said, there she would be engaged, because if she's saying give, it's not just give, like that's the only thing I care about, then that seemingly is that she's consenting to his conditions. Whereas Rav Sama, Barak Sama, he says, Taga de Malka, says, I swear by the crown of the king, that Eina Mukudeshes, even in that case, she wouldn't be engaged. The Hilchasa Eina Mukudeshes, and the Gemara tells us, Halacha is, that she's not even engaged, even if she doesn't double it. She's just saying, give, nothing to do with, she's not agreeing and consenting to his conditions attached to it, and therefore, if he gives it to her and she takes, it's not an acceptance of Kedushin. Moreover, the Hilchasa, another Halacha that the Gemara paskins from previous daf, is Shiroi Loi Tzuchi Shuma, when a man engages a woman with a piece of silk, it does not have to be evaluated beforehand, which was like Rabba, not like Rav Yosef, who there were two different versions of that. He held that it has to be evaluated beforehand. And the Hilchos of Rabbi Elazar looks like Rabbi Elazar, again, also on the previous staff, that he said that if a man tells a woman, be engaged to me with a mana, and instead of that he only gives her a dinner, he said that she's engaged and he just has to pay her back the other 99% at a later point in time. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, where it's because he says, it's as if you say, kol oima almanas, you're saying, on the condition that I give you the mana, but it's kilo oima ma'achsha, like he's saying it should happen right now, and the condition's happening with the dinner, he just has to pay back, as a tanai, the rest of the mana. And the hilchasa karava, am Rav Nachman, halacha also falls like Rabbi, who said in the name of Rav Nachman, who he also said in the previous daf, that if a man gives a woman a mashkin, collateral, to say, here, this is collateral for when I'll finally give you the mana that I promised you, where Rava said, mana inkan, mashkan inkan, you're not giving her any money, and collateral is not giving her anything either, because it's not giving her anything, it's just it's like a promise, and therefore that would not create a kiddushin. So that concludes the Gemara's discussion from the previous daf regarding the first of the three kinyanim mentioned in our Mishnah, how a man can be mekadosh isha, which is with money. Now the Gemara moves on to the next kinyan of shtar, how a man can engage a woman through a document. So Tanya Rabbanu Limna Braisa b'shtar ketzad. What's the halachic medium of engaging a woman with a document? So the Braisa says, Kas of loy ala niyar oy ala cheres. He can write to the father of the girl, either on a piece of paper or a piece of earthenware. Aval pish ima shavapruta, says the Braisa, even though it's not even worth a shavapruta, because we're not working through the medium of kesef. If it was through kesef or shava kesef, it would have to be worth a pruta. It's not working through that medium, so it doesn't even have to be worth a pruta. He writes, bitcha mikudeshesli, your daughter is engaged to me. And again, this is talking about obviously that she has not yet become a begeris. She's under the age of 12 and a half, and she's still in her father's domain regards to kedushin, so her father could receive the kedushin. So he writes to the father, your daughter is engaged to me. Or bitcha mu'resesli, another terminology of kedushin, your daughter is engaged to me. Or bitcha li le'intu, or your daughter should be for me as a wife. And he gives that document to the father. Arizim mukadeshes, that will make the girl engaged to this man. That's how a man can be mekadosh with a shtar. Now, Masik l'Reb Zeira bar Mamel. Reb Zeira bar Mamel asked on this braisa that this is a kinyan for kedushin of shtar. But holeidami ha'ishtara l'shtar zvini. This document that the braisa described that it works for kedushin is not similar to the regular documents that we use in a sale. And hence, what essentially he's asking is that who said, where do we know this from, that such a document would be a valid document? Because hasam over there by a regular document that we use in a sale, meicher kaisavloi, it's the seller that writes the document, and he writes in the document, sadi muhurulach my field this sell to you, and he gives that to the purchaser. Hacha, it's actually the other way around. Here, the way you described it is that bal kaisav bitchum mekudeshes li, the husband who on some level he's the purchaser, he's purchasing the daughter, that's the kinyan that he's making on, he's being kind of it. He writes to the father that your daughter's engaged to me. How do we know that that works? We know that generally ishtar goes from seller to purchaser, and here it's going from purchaser to seller. So Amrav explains, he says, Hasa minyana dekra. There regards to sale, we learn it off in the context of the pasuk that tells us that it's the seller that writes the document. Vahacha minyana dekra. And here regarding kedushin, we also learn it from the context of the pasuk that it's the purchaser, meaning the husband, the chasin, who he writes the document. As the Gemara explains, Hasam ksiv, dear regards to a sale, the pasuk tells us in Mayikra, umachar me'achu zasai, that he sells from his inheritance, where, as the Gemara explains, b'meichar tal rachmana, we see that the primary variable in a sale is the seller. We see that the pasuk says, it talks about the seller selling, it doesn't talk about the purchaser purchasing. So therefore, we see the primary one is the seller, so he writes the document. But over here by Kedushin, the Pasuk says, Devarim ki yikach, when he takes the woman, who's the primary variable? We see it's the purchaser. He's the one that's the primary player. So, Bebaltal Rachman, we see that the Torah makes a contingent on the husband, so therefore he writes the shtar. So the shtar is the most important, the condition that's important for that transaction by a sale. It's the meicher, as the Pasuk talks about the meicher. By Kedushin, it's the husband who he's the purchaser. So that's why either one is going to be the shtar based on who writes it. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Rava. Hasam namiksiv, what do you mean? Regards to a sale, we also have a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Sadois by kesev yikanu. It talks about the purchaser. The pasuk mentions the primary character as that there are fields that they purchase with money. So we see that the purchaser is considered a significant character in a sale, so maybe he should write the document. So that the Gemara answers, no, kurei be yaknu. Read the pasuk that they sell, not that they purchase, that fields with money they sell. And therefore you see that still the primary character is the seller. Now the Gemara wonders, my tamakaris be yaknu, why is it that you're reading the pasuk that it's that they sell mechshum dechsev because of the other precedent, because of machar, because of the other pasuk that says that they sell? So we want to be able to synthesize those two psukim, so we say it must be the seller, and therefore don't read it yikanu that they buy, but rather yaknu that they sell. But if that's the case, ask the Gemara, hachinami, then you have the same question by kedushin too. Because kari beki yakach, we should read it not ki yikach, that he takes, which would make the primary, as we've been saying, the husband, but rather when he is being take, when it's being taken to him. In other words, maybe the primary character in that pasuk of ki yikach ish isha is actually the father of the girl, that he takes the husband for his daughter. Why? Why would we read it like that? Because the chesed, we have a pasuk in the varm that says a primary character, not the husband, but rather the father of the girl. Where the pasuk says, when this mitzi shemra, and the father of the girl says he's making up lies about my daughter that she didn't have virginity, it says, "Es biti nosati leshazeh." The father says, "I have given my daughter to this man," which means to say that it's the giver, it's the father that's being makna, that's the primary player, and not necessarily the husband. So why are you saying that, okay, by Kedushin, he writes the Shar because he's the primary character? We have another pasuk that makes it sound like that the father is the primary character. So why is it any different than by Yisrael, where you change the reading to fit in with the other pasuk, that it's the seller that's primary? So we say not ki yikonu, but rather ki yaknu. Well, here you should do the same thing also. Read a ki yakach to jive well with the other pasuk that makes it sound like the father is the primary. So Elam Rava, rather Rava concludes, that the truth is hilchasaninu. It's actually halacha l'moshe m'sinai, which is that's the tradition from Moshe that he received from Hashem by Har Sinai, that when it comes to Kedushin, it's the chasen that writes it, the kaina, and by a sale, it's the seller that writes it. But v'asmechinu rabban nakroi, like an asmachta, which is an allusion that we find sources for halachas l'Moshe m'Sinai, as we find them where they're alluded to in the Torah Shebeksav, so the rabbis found that to be an allusion to it. But you're right, it wouldn't be conclusive if that was the source, because you have other psukim too, and therefore the truth is it's halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. This that we brought these psukim as the sources, they're just an asmach, they're just an allusion to that halacha. That's one approach. Or if you want, you could say that you don't have to say that it's because of halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. You could say that actually the source is the psukim themselves. And because Hasan Nami, they're also by the documents of Seil, Ksid, the pasuk says in Yirmiyah over there, it says, Ve'ekech es sefer ha-mikna. Yirmiyah says that I took the document of the sale. Now obviously we see that it's the seller giving it to the purchaser, because what does Yirmiyah say? It says, I took, and he doesn't say that I gave. Because the context of that pasuk over there is, by that parasha, is that Yirmiyah was purchasing the field from Hanamel. So we see that it's the seller who writes, my field is sold to you, and he gives it to the purchaser, who was Yirmiyah. And Yirmiyah was saying, I'm taking the document. And he was the purchaser. So that's how we see that, even in that pasuk over there, that tells us that the primary one is the seller. But over here, by Kedushin, since it says, ki yikach, so again, so we see that the primary one is the husband, who, regarding to the actual acquisition, it's ki yikach. The other pasuk is biti nesat l'shazeh, was told about just what the father was making claims regarding the new husband's problems that he's making up with his wife. But regarding the actual acquisition, we see that it's the husband, ki yikach esh isha. And therefore, even from the psukim itself, there's no question by Mechira that you have another pasuk that talks about, seemingly about, that it's the purchaser. Because you see clearly there from the pasuk that it's the seller that writes it and not the purchaser, in contrast to by Kedushin, that you could say that it is the husband who writes and not the father. Continuing on these halachas, similar type of terminology that we brought in the Braisa, the Gemara says, Va'amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. It says, Kasav loy ala niyar oy ala cheres. He writes for the father either on a piece of paper or on a piece of earthenware. And again, afapish imish shavapruta, even if it's not with a shavapruta, he writes as follows. Bitcha mekudeshesli, your daughter is mekudesh to me. Bitcha mu'oresesli, your daughter is engaged to me. Or bitcha lila into, your daughter is for me a wife. Now, Rava adds on this part of the halacha, bein al yidei aviha, bein al yidei atzma. Doesn't make a difference who receives it, even though he's writing it to the father, whether if the father receives it, or even if the daughter herself receives it. Mekudeshes midaiti, she'll be engaged if at least it's with the consent and the understanding of the father, because he's the primary one who's Makadish's daughter when she's a minor. As Rav explains, because we're talking about Bahush Le Bagra, as long as she didn't become yet a full adult at age 12 and a half with two simonim of Cyrus. However, another variation of this halach is Kasav La ala Niyar Oilacharis. He could write Tahar to the girl herself on a piece of paper or on earthenware. Again, Avapish Imash of a Pruta, even if it's not worth a Pruta. He writes, Hari at mekudeshesli, you're engaged to me, not daughter, because here he's writing it straight to her. Hari at lila into, you are for me a wife. Hari at moresesli, you're engaged to me. Mekudeshes, she's engaged, bein al de aviyah, bein al de atzma, whether if it's her who receives it, or whether if it's her father who receives it. But in this case, it's midai ta. It's only if it's with her consent, meaning that she said that her father could receive it for her. Now, the reason why in this case Rebbe says that we need her consent, in contrast to the first case where we said we need the father's consent, is because we're talking about Vuhusha Bagra, that she already became an adult. She's an adult, she marries herself off, not her father. So therefore, yeah, her father could receive it for her if she's agreeable to it. But again, it has to be her consent, in contrast to when she's a minor, it has to be with her father's consent. But either one, we can have either one of them receiving the actual document from the chassan engaging her. Continuing these halachas of shtar, the Gemara says, "Bei Rib Shem Malakish." Rish Lakish asked the following question. Shtar Erisin, which is what we're discussing, a document that engages a man with a woman, Shiksavi Shaloi Lishma. It was written not for the sake of this woman. Rather, it was written for the sake of another woman, and they changed their mind. Then there was another woman with the same name. He wants to go ahead and give her this document to engage her. Maha, what's the halacha? So the Gemara explains what the options are. Havayis Litzis Makshin, and do we say that we compare engagement to divorce? Because the pasuk says V'yatza V'haisa, which we learn out, it says there in the parasha when she leaves one husband, then says that she gets engaged to another man, where the pasuk tells us that we compare the two halachas. So therefore we say, Ma, just like we find as we continue in Talmud Beis, Yitzia Be'inon Lishma, when it comes to a woman leaving a marriage, that document has to be written for her sake, as the pasuk tells us in Devarim Chavdal, B'chas of Law, that he writes it for her. Where the Gemara elsewhere, Mesechtes Gittin of Chaf Amarav, tells us it has to be written Lishma for her sake. It has to be written for this woman, and you can't use it for another woman that has the same name. So therefore you would say, Afavai bein Lishma. So too, when you're making a document for engagement, also has to be written for the sake of this woman. Can't use it for another woman that has the same name. Oidim, or maybe, is the question, Havayis lahadodi makshinan. As we said in the beginning of our Mesech, that there's three ways to engage a woman. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Maybe we compare this kedushin of shtar to the other kedushins, and that is mahavai de kesef. Just like when you engage a woman with money, loy bein lishma, you don't have to make this medium of kedushin, which is the money, for the purpose of this woman. Because when they minted this coin by the government, they didn't make it for this woman's sake, and yet you could use that coin to engage her. Avavai de shtar loy bein lishma. So to the document that you're using as a medium to engage her, also doesn't have to have been written for her sake, just like the coin, and you could engage her with a document that was not written lishma. What's the halacha? So the Gemara tells us, Basid Dabaya Hada Pashta. After Rish Lakish asked the question, he resolved it and he said, Havayi Liyitziya Makshinan. We do compare engagement to divorce. The Amakro, because the Pasuk says, V'yatza V'haisa, which is that she leaves and she gets engaged, which, as Rashi points out, because that's the primary one, because this actual source that we know that a document can be used to engage a woman is actually learned out from V'yatza V'haisa. We know it just like a document can be used for divorce, that's how we know it can be used for engagement. So therefore, we definitely are going to compare it more to that halacha of V'yatza V'haisa, to a divorce document, which has to be written lishma, than to other havayas, to other types of engagement, which do not have to be lishma. And therefore, he says, a shtar has to be written lishma. Now, based on this halacha, the Gemara continues, itmar. They had the following machlekes. Kesavei lishma. We know it has to be written lishma. It was written for the sake of this woman, but v'shaloi midaita, without her awareness. In other words, before they wrote it, that he wanted to get engaged to this woman, they didn't consult her. And now after he wrote it up, he proposes, he pops the question, and he says, here, look, I have this document written up. Would you like to receive this? And she accepts. And as Rashi points out, we're talking about an adult. But actually, the same question would apply with a katana or a naira if it was written lishma for this girl, but if it wasn't written midas avia, without the father's awareness. So it was written for her sake, but shaloi midas, without her awareness. So in that, the Gemara says the machlekes. Rava v'ravina amri mekudeshes. They say she could be engaged with such a shtar. Whereas Rav Papa v'rav Shavi amri, they say ein mekudeshes. She cannot be engaged with such a shtar, even though it was written lishma. But since it was written without her awareness, it's not valid. So Amar Papa, Rav Papa said, Eima time of the two. I'll explain to you their opinion, those who dispute me, who say that she is engaged with such a shtar. Eima time of the two, and I'll explain to you my opinion why I hold that she's not going to be engaged. So he says, Eima time of the two, I'll explain to you their opinion, which is Rav and Ravina's opinion. Because the Pasuk says that she leaves one man and she gets engaged to another one, which again, as we said before, we compare engagement to divorce. And that is, they hold Mayitzi Lishma Vishlag Midaita, just like divorce has to be written for her sake, but could be even without her awareness. In other words, because we know the halacha is a man can divorce a woman without her das, without her consent, without her awareness. You could even do Bal Karcha. Afavayinam Lishma Vishlag Midaita. Therefore, the comparison is that the same thing is regarding engagement. that it could be, it has to be written lishma, but it could even be written without her awareness. We don't need her consent to make the shtar. Yeah, for the actual kedushin, we need her consent. But for the actual writing of the document, we don't need just like the document of the gerushin. Now that says, Rav Papa ve'ima taima didi. Well, I'll explain to you my opinion. The yatzav ha'isa, yeah, I'm going along the same from the same source because it compares divorce to engagement. Makash avaya litzia. But he says, my yitzia, the comparison I make is, just like by divorce, be'inan das makne, we need the consent of the one who's creating the kinyan, who's being makne, giving it over to the other person. Meaning, in the case of divorce, the husband is the makne. He's giving over the acquisition to the other person because he's giving the woman back, so to speak, to herself, because up until now, he was kind to her. By divorce, he's giving her back to herself. That's how he's releasing her. So we know by Gerushin we need to have his das, because the Pasuk says, v'chas of love, that he has to write it for her, has to be not only lishma, the sefer can't just do it for her sake, it has to be with the husband's authority, with his consent, with his awareness. So afavaya be'ina das makna, says Rav Papa, so too regarding engagement, we similarly need the das of the makna. By Kedushin, who's being makna the woman to the husband? It's the woman herself who's giving herself over, she's makna herself to the husband, and therefore we also need to have her das. And that's why he holds that even though it was written lishma, but it was written shalei midaita, she didn't authorize, she didn't consent to the writing of the shtar erisin, it's not going to work. Just like a get wouldn't work without the husband, who is the makna over there, in it being a shtar of gerishin. So that's why he holds that it's not going to be valid. Now the Gemara says meisvei. The Gemara asks on the opinion of Rava and Ravina, who they said that it would be a valid kedushin. But my Mishnah Masechtas Baba Basra, the Mishnah says, in Kaisman Shtari Erisin V'Nisuin, one is not allowed to write a document for engagement or for marriage, where some of Farshim explained the Nisuin is meaning a ksuba, and Erisin will explain what that is. You're not allowed to write that, Elamadash name, unless you have the consent of both of them. Says the Gemara, my love, Shtari Erisin V'Nisuin Mamish, aren't we talking about when it's literally the document that creates either Nisuin or the one that creates Erisin? Which document creates engagement? That's if, let's say, he writes on the document, your daughter is engaged to me. And we see that you need to have both of theirs consent, both of theirs awareness to write the document, which seemingly refutes Rav and Ravina, who said that we don't need the woman's consent, we only need the man's consent. And that the Gemara answers, loy. No, it's actually not talking about when it says shtari erisin, it doesn't mean the document that creates the engagement, because there you don't need her consent. Rather, it refers to shtari psikta. It's a document that they make up amongst themselves, which is commonly called the tenayim, the conditions between them, which is the money that they're agreeing to each pay for this new marriage. Ukad Rav Gidla Marav, like the halacha that Rav Gidl has said in the name of Rav. The Amr Rav Gidla Marav, he says, what this is referring to, this document that's written up, which is the psikta, what they are paisik, what they each set aside for the new couple getting married, which is the chasen and her father, where one father says to the other one, the Tumuchatanma meeting, Kama ata nisin lebintcha, how much are you giving for your son for the marriage? So the father of the boy says, Kach v'kach, that's how much money I'm going to give. And then he says to the father of the girl, Lebintcha, kach, how much are you giving for your daughter? So he says, Kach v'kach, I'm giving that much. Amdu v'kitruv, they get up and they say l'chaim and they make a kedushin. So kanu, that has acquired the kinyan of the pesikta. It is already now they are both obligated in their obligation that they said they're going to give. Because hein hein advarm ha'nikn b'amira, these are certain halachas that the acquisition can happen just with the verbalization, even without an actual kinyan, which generally you have to make some type of kinyan, do a give over a kerchief. You got to do something to say, okay, the obligations that I said I'm going to do for my daughter and that I said I'm going to do for my son has to be given over. Here the kedushin is what concludes that discussion, and that actually creates the kinyan. Because it's that benefit, that pleasure that they have, that they became mechotanim, that they engaged their children, that they concluded and they already have obligated themselves in that kinyan of whatever they made up in the tonight. Now, it's just that in that the halacha of Rav Gidla is saying the name of Rav, it's that by this tonight, those who are witness to this agreements that the mechotanim made up, the in-laws, are the witnesses are not allowed to write up a document on their own. That's what Allah is saying, ilamidashneim. You need to have both of theirs consent. And the reason for that is as Rashi explains, because they would prefer it to be an oral obligation that they're having to each other, which is called a milval peh. It's an obligation, it's like a loan which was taken orally, and they prefer not to have it written in the document. So if anyone wants to have it written up in a document, then you need to have both sides consent, because it's actually an obligation already in an oral way, But that's what it means, Shtari Erusin. Not difficult on Rava and Ravina, because truth is, for the actual document of the engagement, when he's engaging her bitcha mekudeshesly, that you don't need to have the woman's awareness. Here, when you said you need to have both sides' awareness, it's talking about the Shtari Psikta, where if you want to write it up, then both of them have to agree to have it written up, and therefore it's not difficult on their interpretation. Now the Gemara moves on, quoting from our Mishnah, the third of the three kinyan that we mentioned, how a woman could become engaged for Kedushin, is ubibia, which is with cohabitation. Now the Gemara asks Benolan, where do we know that if a man cohabits with a woman for the purposes of a Kedushin, that it creates a Kedushin that they're now engaged? So Amr Bavo, Amr B'yechan, and it says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, where the beginning of the Pasuk says, ki matzei ish sheichiv im isha, if we find that a man laid with a woman, that is bu'ulas baal, that had been cohabited with a husband, so then she's an ashes ish, she was obviously engaged and married to this man, and then they get the death penalty. Now, but says Rabbi Yechanan Melamed, what this pasuk teaches is that shenasala baal, how did he become her husband? Ali de be'ila, through their cohabitation. That's what it's saying, that when the term it uses for the married woman is bu'ulas baal, the woman that cohabited with a husband. So you see, how did they become a husband? Through cohabitation. That's the source for the kinyan of Bia for Kedushin. Now, on that, only Rabbi Zeila, Rabbi Vo. Rabbi Zeila asked Rabbi Vo. Vamrilan, some say it was that Rish Lakish had asked it through Rabbi Yechanan, which was either one. Rabbi Vo had said it over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Either they asked Rabbi Vo or asked Rabbi Yechanan. Ka'ura zu shashana Rabbi? Is it repulsive? Is it ugly for you, this thing that Rabbi had taught? In other words, you don't like it that you're trying to find a different source? We already quoted in Davdala Mabez, where we said, Uba'ala, the Pasuk says, Kiikach ish isha, when a man takes a woman, and it says, Uba'ala, and he cohabits with her. Said Rabbi Malamach Niknis Babia, that teaches that she's acquired with Bia. Why do you have to find a different source of Bula's Baal? What's wrong with that source? So that answers either Rabbi Vo or Rabbi Yechanan. Imi Hasam, had we learned it from that Pasuk, Havamina, actually, I would have thought to say, that ad de mekadesh, that actually until a woman gets engaged with money, the hadr bal, and only then when there's cohabitation, because actually if you read the pasuk, that's the way it sounds. It says, ki yikach, when a man takes, which as we learned, ki yikach from Sde Ephraim, that's a reference to money, ubala, and then he cohabits with her, that's what it sounds like, has to be those two steps to create kedushin. So if I only had that pasuk, actually I would have thought to say that bia doesn't work on its own, and actually kesef doesn't work on its own. It's only kesef with bia that creates kedushin. Kamash malam. That's why I'm bringing you a different pasuk that shows ubu'ulas baal, that just through bia itself it creates a kedushin. Now maskev la Rabbi b'mamal. However, Rabbi b'mamal asked on this. He said, "Im kain, if that's the case, that the way you would have learned the pasuk that Rebbe had brought as a source, and that's why you're not learning from that source, and that's why you need another source, that." Kiikach ish isha uba'ala would be telling me that you need to have both kesef and bia, and actually that without bia and having just kesef, it wouldn't create a kedushin. So then he asks, how could you have said that that's what the pasuk would have meant? Because if that's the case, then naira hama'irasa, regarding a naira, a girl between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, who's engaged, the amrachamana biskila, the Torah tells us that if she cohabits with another man at that period when she's engaged as a naira, they get stoned, which is different than the regular penalty for a married woman having znus. How could you ever conceptualize a naira hamayrasa getting the penalty of skila? Because e de'akdish v'hadar baal, if it was, as you said, that the pasuk would have told us, the only way for it to be kedushin is that he had given her money and then cohabited with her, and that's how she's engaged. But then bu'ulahi, she's a woman that already had bia, she's not a virgin anymore. Now, as Rashi points out, the pasuk in Devarim Chav Beis tells us that skila for the Nair Hamaras is only if she's a besula, a virgin. Because it says, kiyira, kiya, naira, besula, ma'irasala ish. She has to be all three things. A naira, between 12 and 12 and a half, a besula, and engaged. Which the Gemara in Ksubis Mimchesim Beis clearly tells us she has to be besula and not a be'ula. Because if she's a be'ula, then actually the penalty of her znos is going to be with chenek, with choking, like other married women, and not this unique halacha of Nair Marasa. So that wouldn't be a valid case. And Ida Akdash B'lei Baal, and if he had only given her money for Kedushin and he never did be with her yet, so good since she's a Naira Hamayrasa, that's a Basula, but then Lav Klumhu. But then actually then there's nothing there because she's not even engaged then, according to you. Because you said that having Kesef without Bia, if we didn't have this other Pasuk, who would have told us that you needed both, but if you needed both, then she's not engaged yet. So therefore, what Rabbi Abba Bar Mamala is asking is that obviously you have to say that ki yikach ish isha is its own concept. That's its own kedushin through money. Then when the pasuk continues ubala, that he cohabits with her, is its own thing, is kedushin through be itself without money. So therefore, that's how you would have the understanding that to be skila with just the kedushin of kesa without bia. So you could have a nair merasa who's a besula because she got engaged through money without bia. But according to you, how do we understand? If we didn't have the pasuk of Ba'ula's Baal, you're saying that we would have learned from that pasuk that it's only kedushin through kesef and through bia, but that's not possible because the halach of Naim Rasa would tell us that would be not feasible then because you wouldn't have ever a woman engage without having been a Ba'ula, and Naim Rasa is only if she's not a Ba'ula. So the Gemara tells that Amru Rabbanu Kamei D'Abaya, that the rabbis had said an answer in front of Abaya to resolve the question on Rabbi Yochanan, that it's not difficult. Mishkachas la, you could find a conceptualization. Kagin shebal la aris shalei kedarka. It would be talking about where her chasin had made kedushin, yes, through kesef and through bia. That's what we would have thought without his pasuk of Ba'ulas Baal, when he went and he cohabited with her in the unnatural way, which is that the pasuk in Vayikachav compares the two different types of copulations, cohabitations with a woman, because when it talks about the Mishkav Zachar, it calls it that if a man cohabits with another man, Mishkav Eisha, the way a man lays with a woman and says it in the plural, which is talking about two different ways to lay with a woman. So we see that we're comparing the two of them. So therefore, when the Pasuk tells us, Ki yikach esh isha uba'ala, that's considered a bia, whether it be Kedarka, which is where Shahar Besulim are, or even Shaloi Kedarka. So you can have her being engaged, because he did kesef and bia, but she's still going to be a besula, because doing a shalai kedarka doesn't take away the besulim. And therefore she's still a besula. So therefore it's not difficult, according to Rabbi Yochanan. You could still have the halacha of nair merasa, even if you would say that the only way to create kedushin is with kesef and bia. Now, however, amalehem abaya. Abaya said to the Rabbanan, he said, no, you can't give such an answer for Rabbi Yochanan, because if it would be talking about that the Aris, her chasin, had cohabited with her shaloi kedarka, then actually she wouldn't get skila anymore. But as Abaya explains, because ad kan loy pligi Rebbe v'Rabbanan, we only have the machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanan, and that is where when you have 10 people that cohabited with a woman shaloi kedarka, they all did it in the unnatural way, where the Rabbanan say that all the men get skila, in other words, because she's still considered as a basula. That says Abaya, that's Ella Ba'achar. That's only if the men that cohabited with her were other men, not her husband. Aval Baal, but this is what Abaya says, but if it's her chasin, if it's her husband, then Divya Akol, everyone would agree, even the Rabbanan, in Bola Shaloi Kedarka, if he's going to have be with her, even Shaloi Kedarka, Asa Bu'ula. She would already be considered as a non-virgin, even though her Basulim is there. But as the Gemara will later on tell us, we learn out from this pasuk of Ba'ulas Baal that tells us that when the husband has bia with her, she's already considered as a Ba'ula, as a non-virgin, even though her Basulim are still there. And therefore, it's not tenable, your approach you're trying to give to answer for Rabbi Yochanan, that we could have her having had bia with the chasin to create kedushin, but she's still a Basula because of a Shalei Kedarka. That's not true, because everyone agrees if the chasin, if the husband that's doing the bia with her, it would make her ready as a Ba'ula. And therefore, you're back to the question that you wouldn't have an answer for Rabbi Yochanan, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only way to create kedushin, if we didn't have his other pasuk, would be with kesef and bia. And then if you do bia with the chasin, even shalei kedarka, would already make her as a ba'ula, and therefore she wouldn't fit into the pasuk of naim rasa of requiring that she be a besula and only engaged. First, the Gemara clarifies mahi. What's this machlekes Rebbe and the Rabbanan that you mentioned that holds that even though there are those who say that she could still be a besula if she had bia shalei kedarka, but that everyone agrees, as Abai is pointing out, and therefore saying the question is still alive, that when it's the chasin, when it's the husband, it's going to make her ba'ula. The time, like we'll learn in the Braisa. Ba'ula yud anashim. If 10 men cohabited with a woman, va'adayin hi besula, and she's still a virgin, what does that mean? Because they all had be with her, shaloi kedarka, in an unnatural way. Says the Tanna Kamma, say the Rabbanan, kulam beskila, they all get skila, because she's a naira hamayra, so she's a girl that's engaged, and she's still a besula. So, but every single man's cohabiting with her, it's still forbidden for a man to cohabit with a woman, shaloi kedarka, but she's still a naira merasa, that's a besula. So they all get skila, all 10 men. Rebbe, I mean, he says, I disagree. I say harishin beskila. Only the first guy gets skila, which the Gemara later on in this sugi will explain the reasoning for Rebbe's opinion. But v'kula mechanek, after the first guy cohabited with her, even shalakadarka, even though she's still a naira hamayrasa that has besulim, still the rest are not going to be considered in that category. They're going to get chenek like it is with a regular married woman. So that's that brisa, which again Abaye said that, but they all agree, even the Rabbanon, that although they consider a besula even for 10 men, that's only because none of them were her husband. So then we're back to the question on Rabbi Yechina, where how do you conceptualize Nara HaMayrasa if he's saying that if you didn't have my pasik and you only had Kikach Ish Isha Ba'ala, you would think it meant that the Kenya of Kedushin is only with Kesef and Bia. How can you say that? If it would be only that way, how would you ever have the Halacha of Nara HaMayrasa? So Amrav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, Mishkachas La. You could have a case where it would be Skila, that it would be stoning for Nara HaMayrasa that has to be Besula. Could go in Shekitcha Bishar. Because up until now, we were just focused in thinking, okay, so yeah, you're right, Kenyan Kesef doesn't work on its own, it needs Bia, and Bia needs Kesef, but there's a third way. It could be in a case of when he engaged her with a document where, yeah, that doesn't need Bia, and if it doesn't need Bia, she's still a Basula. And the reason why is because Hayil v'Gaymer Umaitzi, since document on its own totally removes a woman from that relationship, Gaymer Umachnes, it's conclusive in how it brings in on its own, without Bia too, because that's how we know Shtar works, from divorce. Just like by divorce, it does it unilaterally by itself, so too for Kedushin. Now, therefore, that's what the Gemara is answering, that if not for the Halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, his source of Be'ulas Baal, I would have thought, regarding Kesef, of money, the Kedushin only works if additionally it has Bia with it, where you say, Kikach Ish Isha, money, Uba'ala, and it has Bia with it. Now, however, this is what Rabbi Yechanan is concluding. But now that he learns that from the pasuk of Be'ulas Baal, where we see from that pasuk that Bia itself creates Kedushin, so then obviously when it says Kiyikach Ish Isha, where we learn a Kiyicha Kiyicha from Stei Efren that tells us that Kesef is a Kedushin, obviously that's coming to teach us that Kedushin works by the money itself. Because if you would think that you need the Kesef and the Bia with it, because that's how you would normally read the pasuk, then what would you need the pasuk? What is the money helping you? The Bia itself is creating Kedushin, as we find from the pasuk of Ubala's Baal. So there must be that, yes, those are two different types of Kedushin. There's Ubala and there's Kesef. Kesef works on its own, because or else we don't need the Kesef. It's the Bia working on its own too. Now, so then, but then the Gemara asks, but then Rabbi Yechanan, Hayu Ba'ala my Avalei? But then what does he need that pasuk for? Meaning Rebbe had said, Uba'ala is what teaches you the kinya of Bia for Kedushin. But according to Rabbi Yechanan, you know it from Ubala's Baal. And we just explained why he doesn't want to learn it from Ubala. But what does Ubala come to teach? It's not saying that Kesef needs Bia, because we said Kesef works on its own. So what does he do with that pasuk? So the Gemara says, Ahumi Ba'ala, he needed to teach a different halacha. It's to say that Zu Niknis B'Bia. This woman, a wife, she could be acquired for Kedushin with Bia. But ve'ein amaha avriya niknes bebiya. But a Jewish maidservant cannot be acquired as a slave through an act of cohabitation. Now, why do I need a limud, a special halacha, to teach you that amaha avriya cannot be acquired with biya? Because salkatay dechamina tesa b'kavachay miyavama. Because if not for this exclusionary term, I would have thought to say, based on a kavachaymer from a yavama, by a woman who her husband died without any children, that from that halacha, I would have thought to say that a kavachaymer, that an amaha avriya could be acquired through Bia. Why? Because Umay Yavama She'ein Niknes B'Kesef, if regarding a Yavama, she cannot be acquired by the Yavam with him giving her money, yet Niknes B'Bia, she could be acquired through an act of cohabitation. So Zu, by the Amma Avri, by the Jewish maidservant, She'ein Niknes B'Kesef, who she could be acquired by her master with money. Ain't it din She'ein Niknes B'Bia? Isn't it a Kavachemah that she could be acquired through cohabitation? That's what Kamash Mullah, that's why we needed the Pasuk to tell you, Ba'ala, it's only a wife that could be acquired through Bia and not a Amma Avriya. Now, however, the Gemara asks, still, why do you need a pasuk? Because the Gemara actually says that it's not a kavachemer. Because Mali Yavama, what can you compare to Yavama? She can zikuga ve'medes. She already has a zika bond. She's already standing. She already has some tenuous relationship with her brother-in-law, which takes over her husband's relationship with her. Maybe their bia works. But who would say that it's a kavachemer to Amavriya? Yeah, money works by Amavriya, which doesn't work by Yavama, but still maybe only by Yavama Bia works, because it's just consummating a relationship that's already there, in contrast to Amavriya, which doesn't have already a long-standing relationship. Maybe Bia wouldn't work. So why do you need a pasuk for? Who said it's a kavachemer? So rather, the Gemara says, you need the pasuk for a different reason. I would have thought to say, since the pasuk says in Shemais, imacheres yikachloi, it talks about that when you have a Jewish maidservant, so there's a mitzvah of, instead of her working the rest of the year that she has on the contract that she was sold for, that extra amount of money that she owes in her work, you go ahead and you marry her, you use it as kesef kedushin. So the pasuk says, if you do that, if besides this woman that was a maidservant that you then or your son then took as a wife, then he takes additionally on another wife, that so too, but he shouldn't diminish anymore her she'eru k'susa v'ainasa, his marital relations with her, her clothing, her food, that should still maintain the same. That's what the pasuk's talking about. But one thing we see from that pasuk is that hekisha hakasav la'acheres, that the pasuk is equating the Jewish maidservant to another woman, meaning specifically for his wife or his son's wife, meaning to say that if another woman you marry, so besides this amavriya, you should also maintain, since you had already married her, the she'eru k'susa and the aina. But so since it's comparing to a regular wife, we would have thought to say, ma'acheres mekanya bebiya, just like another one, meaning a wife you could acquire with cohabitation, af amavriya mekanya bebiya. So to a Jewish maidservant you could acquire through biya. K'mash v'lan, that's what the pasuk is teaching by saying, uba Allah, that only by when you're taking a wife can you acquire her with biya. In contrast to the amavri, you cannot acquire her with biya, rather it has to be with the money. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan uses Ubala for. Now the Gemara goes the other way. Now, the Rebbe, who, again, that he learned out the halacha of the Kenyan Bia of cohabitation for Kedushin from Ubala, Hai Svar Minali. So where does he know this Svara, that this logic that we're excluding an Amma of Riyah from being acquired through Bia? He can't use Ubala to say that it's only Bia for a wife to be acquired enough Amma of Riyah, because he uses Ubala to tell you the kinya of biya itself. So it's not an extra word to exclude amavriya. How does he know an amavriya cannot be acquired through biya? So that the Gemara says, im kain, because if the only thing we were learning from Ubala was like Rebbe had said in Daf Dalad, that kedushin could be with biya, then lichtev rachmanu ubal. Then the Torah should have said that kiikach ishisha, when a man takes a woman, ubal, and he cohabits. My uba'ala, what does it mean that he cohabits? With her, is to say with her, with a wife he acquires through Bia, and not with an Amavriya, Shemami Notarti. So it actually teaches us two halachas. The term Ubal itself tells us that Bia is a Kenyan. And when it says the extra hey, Ubala, that he cohabits with her, it's saying that it's only with her and not with an Amavriya. But now the Gemara asks even more. But Ula Rava da Amma, but according to Rava that he says in the second parak, regarding a halacha when a man gets engaged to one of two sisters. He doesn't say which one. He says, he gives the money. He says, I'm engaged to one of these two sisters. So Rava says it's not a valid kedushin. And the reason being is because since it's not a kedushin that could then lead to cohabitation, because he doesn't know which one's his wife and which one's his sister-in-law, because he just said one of them, but it's not clear which one that is, which if it's the wrong one, it's actually Karis. So Rava said, Barahina Asberli, in the name of a certain sage, whose name was Barahina, taught me the reason for this halacha from a pasuk. Because the pasuk says ki kach ish ishu uba'ala, when a man takes a woman and he cohabits with her. So in that Barahina said, you see from that pasuk that kiddushin, meaning a kicha of kesef, ki kach ish ishu, which is talking about acquiring her through money, hamisurin libiya have a kiddushin. If it could then lead to cohabitation, that's going to be kiddushin. In other words, the word uba'ala is a qualification from ki kach ish ishu. Kedushin she'emisur in labia, but a kedushin they cannot lead to bia like here, because you don't know which one it is, you can never cohabit with either one of them, then lo have a kedushin, that means to say it wasn't even a kedushin in the first place, that means you're not even engaged. But according to that interpretation, ma'ikilamema, what are you going to say? In other words, where do you know to darshan what Rebbe had said, which is that you know a kinya of bia, and where are you going to know that other halacha to exclude an amma, where Rebbe had said besides ubal, you know from the extra hay? But according to Barahina, the term Ubal is being taught, is teaching something else. It's not being taught actually as its own kinyan, it's being taught as a qualification of the kinyan of kesef. That the kinyan of kesef only works if it's going to lead to bia. So now the Gemara says, im kain, that if it was only coming to teach the halacha of Rebbe, which is that kedushin could be with bia, and to teach the other halacha to exclude the amavriya, and there was nothing else that was coming to teach us, then nichtev kra, then the pasuk should have said, oy ba'Allah. In other words, if a man takes a woman or he cohabits with her, which would have taught us those two halachas, Baal, that the bia could be a kinyan, and the extra hay to exclude amavriya. My uba'Allah, what is this that it says, and he cohabits with her? The and sounds like it's going back on the beginning part of the pasuk, on the kiikach. That comes to teach Barahina's halachas to Shema Mino Kulu. So Rava tells you, you learn all three halachas from that pasuk. From the fact that it says Baal, teaches you Kinyan Bia. The fact that it says Baal La, the extra hey, teaches Zuv Alayachar exclude the Amavriya from being acquired with Bia. And the Vav, Ubala, sounds like it's going back and qualifying the previous halacha of Kinyan, of Kesef, to say that it's only Kesef Amasura Lebia, that's a Kedushin, but if it's not, it's not a valid Kedushin. But now the Gemara asks, but Rebbe, according to Rebbe, Hai Ba'ula's Baal Mai Ovid, like, what does he do with Rabbi Yechanan's Pasuk? Rabbi Yechanan didn't like to learn it from Rebbe's Pasuk Uba'ala. So he learned it from Ba'ula's Baal, where it says, in regards to when a woman is, it has an extramarital relationship, as a married woman, it calls her Ba'ula's Baal, which he said that you see that she through a Bia, she could become the wife of this man. But according to Rebbe, that he knows that Bia is a king of Kedushin already from a Baal, what does he do with this Pasuk? And that the Gemara says, Hai Ba'ula. He needs it, and this is what Abayu was referencing before. Baal oisa oisa ba'ula shel kedarka. It's the husband, the chasen, who he makes this woman into a ba'ula, into a non-virgin, even if the bia that he had with her was in an unnatural way. But ve'ein achar oisa oisa ba'ula shel kedarka. That's what it's teaching. A ba'ula is through Baal. She only becomes considered a non-virgin. In other words, of course she could become a ba'ula, if her virginity is not there anymore, if the psalm is not there anymore. What's the chiddush? Chiddush is, the novelty is, even if it was done shaloi kedarka, in an unnatural way, where the psalm are still there. It's the Baal that makes her into ba'ula, but other men, if they have bia shaloi kedarka, would not make her into ba'ula. Now that the Gemara asks, umiyasli the Rebbe Hai Svar, does Rebbe really hold to this logic that you said, he's using the pasuk ba'ula as Baal to teach us this halacha, that another man would not make her into ba'ula if it was an unnatural way? But Vatanya, we learned in the Brisa, which we quoted before, that said, Bo leo yur anoshim v'adayin hi besula. If 10 men cohabited with a woman, with a naima rasa, and she's still besula through all the 10 men, which we said is because they haven't been shaloi kedarka, not kedarka, kulam beskila. So the Tanakhama holds, they all get skila, because she's a besula. She's a naima rasa, that's a besula. They all get the skila. Rebbe Yom, he says, Oimrani, I say no, harishin beskila. Only the first man that had bia shaloi kedarka with her gets skila. But v'kulam b'chenek, they all get chenek. Why? Because obviously Rebbe considers the rest as if they're having bia with a ba'ula. How did she become a ba'ula? Through someone else. So how can the Gemara say that Rebbe's learning from this pasuk, like a ba'ula's Baal, that only the husband makes her into a ba'ula shaloi kedarka, and not other men, when we see clearly from this halacha of Namarasa that she's considered a ba'ula, even shaloi kedarka, through another man? So that the Gemara continues on top of Yerim and often tells us that Amr B'zeira, he says, Maydi Rebbe l'inin knas. Rebbe agrees to the halachas of penalties, which is by the halachas of Oynis and Mefata, that even though you're right, as you brought from the Braisa, regarding the death penalty, that he does not consider this woman that had Bia Shaloi Kedarka even with another man as a Basula, but regarding Knas, when she's not engaged, a regular girl who was raped or seduced by another man, there Rebbe agrees that the Ba'ula is only through Baal. To make her into Ba'ula, Shaloi Kedarka would only be through a chasen, but if another man, which obviously we should not engage over here, if another man had be with her, would not make her into Ba'ula. Because the Kula Mishalmi, there in that type of a case, if 10 men cohabited with a single girl, then she would be treated like a Basula, who, when someone's Ma'anas a Basula, he has to pay the Chamishim Shkalim. Rebbe would agree that all 10 men would have to pay that penalty, because we consider as a Basula. In other words, in that halacha, Rebbe agrees to the Rabbanan. Ba'ula's Baal would mean that she only becomes a Ba'ula Shaloi Kedarka only through a chasen and not through these other men. Now the Gemara wonders, but then Maishna Miktala. Why is it any different than the halacha of the death penalty by the halacha of Naima Rasa? Why over there did he say that we consider her Ba'ula through another man Shaloi Kedarka, whereas by Knas, you're saying he learns off in the Pasuk Ba'ula's Baal that's only through the chasen? So the Gemara explains Shani Hasam, because there by the death penalty is different. Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Umeis ha'ish asher shochav imo levadoi, that only that man who lay with this woman, he's the one that's going to get the death penalty. Which the term levadoi is seemingly superfluous. Why? Because that Pasuk is actually in the context of Devarim Chav Beis, that's talking about when a man rapes a woman. Now it says, v'lenaro le'sasadavar, for that married woman, we don't do anything, because it was against her consent. But for that man, he gets the death penalty because he's having bia with an Ashes Ish, with a married woman. But what's Levadoi? What's only him? Of course it's only him. The Pasuk already says that she doesn't get the death penalty. Oh, that's where Rebbe learns from that word levadi, to say that if, let's say, 10 men have bia with her, that they're all going to be treated as if she was not a besula, because only the first one's going to get skila, but the rest are going to get only chenek, like a regular married woman. It's only the first one, levadi, he's the only one that's going to get the special death penalty of skila for a naira hamayrasa. Whereas Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, that said that, no, they all get the death penalty of skila. Hai levadi me'abdile, what do they learn from the halacha of alone? I mean, the woman we know is not getting it. So what's alone? It's not only him. They're all actually going to get the death penalty. They're all going to get skila. So the Gemara says, Mibayulu, look at the Tanya. They need it for a different halacha, that which is told by Rabbi Yonis in the following brisa. The first opinion this brisa says they're in that pasuk umesu gam shneim, that they both die. What does that mean? Ashiyu shavin keechad divrei Rabbi Oishir. Basically says that both of them have to be equal. In other words, both the man and the woman involved in this extramarital relationship have to be people that are liable for punishments in court, which excludes, if let's say an adult has bia with a minor, then it's not going to be the penalty that the pasuk says, because it has to be that both of them are b'nei ancient. That's why it says, umesi gam shneim. Whereas Rabbi Yonis in Neimer, he disagrees. And that's, he brings from a different pasuk, which is this word levadi, which is what the Rabbanan use it for, which the pasuk says, umesa ish asher shachav ima levadi, that the man who lay with her, he alone is going to get the death penalty, which levadi tells us that even if he's the only one that's viable for a death penalty, even if she's a minor and he's an adult, he will still get the penalty that the pasuk says. And that's what the Rabbanan used the word levadi for, not to say that only the first man and not the other men, because they actually hold that all the men that have bish legedarka with this naim rasa that's still a besula is going to get skila. It's actually being used to teach a different halacha. Now the Gemara asks, however, Rabbi Yechanan, hai svara, this logic where it's only the husband that makes the woman into a ba'ula, if it's being done shaloi kedarka minole, where does he know it from? Meaning Rebbe knows it from ba'ula's ba'al, because he learns out the halacha of bia as a kinyan from ubala. But Rabbi Yechanan, that really uses ba'ula's ba'al for that you could create a kinyan kedushin through bia, so it's not superfluous. So how does he know this halacha that you can create a woman as a ba'ula, even shaloi kedarka, only through the chasen and not through another man? So that the Gemara answers, im kain, because if all it was teaching was Rabbi Yechanan's halacha, Nichtav kra ba'ulas ish, the pasuk should have said that she's a ba'ula of a man, meaning in reference to a married woman, so that we see that it's she's that's how you become, you have a husband, an ish, through bia. My ba'ulas ba'al, why is the change of terminology to say that it's she's the one who had cohabitation with a ba'al? Shmama notarti, from the fact that it changes from ish to ba'al, comes to teach us these two halachas of bia. One is that the husband could acquire a wife in kedushin through bia. And moreover, is that becoming a ba'ula, even shalei kedarka, would only be through a ba'al and not through an ish acher. Someone else that would have bia with her would not make her into a ba'ula, which again, the contra abundant is across the board. You always consider her as a besula, and therefore you even get, all the men get skila. Whereas Rebbe disagrees, at least in regards to skila, because of a pasuk of levade, the way he interprets it, that only the first one gets skila, not the rest. But still, on some level, he agrees to that interpretation, at least in regards, as Reb Zeri said, to the halachas of knas. When it comes to halachas of oynis and mafate, when she's not engaged, and then 10 men have be with her, shaloi kedarka, that we still consider her as a besula, because her besula is still there. And because to make her into ba'ula, meaning when it's done shaloi kedarka, has to be only through the baal, and not through an ish acher.